Hello, everyone, and welcome to Board of Education regular meeting of the school board for Monday, the 9th of 2018.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Here.
Mr. Gaffney?
Here.
Mrs. Linkamer?
Here.
Mr. Mannheim?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Ms. Weibel?
Here.
Mrs. Huel?
Here.
All are present. For coming, I've been telling board members we're in the home stretch, but there's still a lot left to do today. First thing on the agenda, our citizen comments. Mrs. Linkamer, do you have the statement that we read at every meeting?
The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting, subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit public comment to 3 minutes per speaker to a total of 30 minutes per meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a reasonable level of civility. Also, personnel matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Thank you, Mrs. Linkamer. The first speaker today is Mary Beth DeLaller. Pardon? DeLaller, lovely name, speaking on Richmond. Welcome to the board meeting.
Hi, thank you for letting me speak. I want to give you a little bit of background. I have a third grader at Richmond. My daughter had a seizure back in September, never had one before, was diagnosed with a disorder. Happened over Labor Day weekend. I reached out to the teacher and the principal the Tuesday after Labor Day, and by Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, I was sitting in a meeting to put a plan in place for her in the event something happened at school. They amended her IEP. Everybody jumped on board with it, took suggestions from the physician, put everything in place. Things went really well. Fast forward to last month, while preparing for the music concert, her teacher noticed that my daughter's mouth was starting to droop. And the first thing she did was take out her phone to start taking pictures of my daughter. We found that she had another seizure. The teacher was right on top of it, got her to the nurse safely, called both my husband and I, and by the time I got to school, I had all of the pictures printed off, handed to me that I was able to take to her neurologist to show the doctor exactly what happened. To say that I'm confident of my child being at Richmond is a huge understatement. The personnel did everything that they could do to care for my daughter. The teacher, how she even noticed that, is beyond me amid all of the students on the risers that morning. I'm very grateful, and I know that people come forward with concerns and complaints, and so I wanted to be somebody that came forward and said that Kelly Skoronski is a phenomenal teacher who goes above and beyond, who knows her children inside and out, and I'm one grateful parent. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That's wonderful to hear. I think we know it instinctively, but it's wonderful to hear it. Thank you. And I will ask that someone finds a way to get that message to Kelly. Thank you. The next speaker is Kate Bell, speaking on bullying. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Kate Bell. I have two boys in the district, one at Redling and one at East, sort of at East. On June 6, 2003, my best friend, my older brother, Donnie, took his own life as he jumped to his death from the Golden Gate Bridge. While I don't talk about it often, this is why I'm talking about it today. There's a lot of issues lurking in his heart, I suppose, but the biggest one was his lack of acceptance. He was bullied relentless in school growing up. His school career started here. Mine, too. I was bullied. We never fit in, and we were reminded constantly. I'm not here to talk necessarily about him or the horrible incident that happened to my son last March. I'm here because a lot of parents and children in the district feel forgotten. They feel left behind, and I feel deeply moved and honored that so many people would share with me and trust me with their children's bullying stories. Too many of them have all had the same theme. Nothing was done. Their child did what they were supposed to do. They told someone, and then silence. No consequences. They couldn't see the consequence nor the change in the bully's behavior. Therefore, no consequences were meaningful to them. I have 80 stories here listed, more than 80 stories, that are just like that. I each had them printed on one page to make a point to you all so that when you read them or choose to cast them aside and not read them, you know that there's one kid being ignored per page. How can this be changed? Should we wait till there's another focus group put together and look over solutions for months, years before programs are implemented? The number of suicides that have taken place here, let alone the massive epidemic that suicide in teens are, is far too many. The deeply saddening events of this past weekend show that our kids in this district need help. They need an outlet. They need to feel like someone cares, that they matter, and that there is a light for them in their darkness. My best friend said to me after I lost my brother that he wouldn't have reached out for me that day because he knew I would have stopped him. He'd already gotten too dark, and there was no turning back, and it was too late. She's probably right, but again, I'll never know. We need to reach those kids before it gets too dark. How can we make them feel they matter before their lights go too dim? We need to show them they're truly cared for. That is, of course, the million-dollar question, which is something a dear friend who is a superintendent in another district here in the U.S. said to me. I reached out to him because despite what you may think, I am not out for blood. I'm out for change. I'm out to understand this issue from multiple sides and bring real results to this district for these kids who really need us. And they need us as soon as possible. Too many have been lost. When a bullying incident like my son's, and there's as many witnesses as there were that do nothing, there's a serious issue on our hands that took place. We need to address bystander behavior, and we need to give them a hotline that kids can go to, that it's fully anonymous. I hear these things are in the works. I've heard they've been in the works since last fall. Let's get them done. Let's get them done yesterday. We spent $2.8 million recently on TURF.
Your 3 minutes are up, so if you could wrap it up.
I have two more paragraphs.
Wrap it up,
we have $2.8 million recently spent on the turf for high schools in our football stadiums, and that funding could go much farther when it comes to the kids who need our help. Shame on D303 for placing that higher as a priority than our kids. I want to share with you just two stories very briefly. One, I'm just going to say his name. Ian Bonner. You know him. Another story is about an autistic boy who was beaten up during gym class. Incidentally, no witnesses. These kids need our help. I've been begging for change since March of last year. Please stop hesitating. Please help these kids, and I've said it numerous times. Please, no more inaction. These kids deserve better, and the parents that pay your salaries deserve better. Please make it happen yesterday.
Thank you. That concludes citizen comments for today. I think I'll ask maybe that this could be scanned and sent to board members. Is that a good plan to you guys? Rather than making copies, you can read it at your leisure. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the superintendent's report. Dr. Pearson.
Just a couple of matters that I'd like to update you on. We are entering that season of recognition and celebration for our district. Last Saturday night, the St. Charles Education Foundation had their gala event to raise money for grants and scholarships in our district, and several of you were able to attend. So thank you for that. I also would just like to remind you about the annual D303 recognition event, which is Thursday, April the 12th, this Thursday. The reception begins at 6 o'clock in the East Commons, and then the program begins at 7:30 in the Norris Center. This year we have 25 staff members celebrating 20 years of service. We have 14 staff members that are celebrating 25 years of service and 4 staff members celebrating 30 years of service. And we have 22 retiring staff members. So we'll be able to recognize those members of our District 303 community and celebrate with them on Thursday evening. So hopefully you'll be able to attend. I also wanted to update you on our intra-district transfer request process. You know, we've implemented a new process this year related to our elementary intra-district transfers. Last week, that online process went live, and so far we've had 199 students or students request an intra-district transfer for next year, and the closing date for that application process is Monday, April the 16th at 4 p.m. So families have until next Monday to complete their application if they're interested in an intra-district transfer. We're actually very excited to be doing this process much earlier this year so that we can not only accommodate more families' requests, but also staff appropriately in our schools. So thank you, board members, for approving that new process for us. And then I'd just like to highlight that this evening on the personnel report are several principal changes for next year. As you know, with the repurposing of Fox Ridge and the retirement of Mrs. Gonzalez-Martinez at Anderson Elementary School, we had a couple of vacancies, and we have some principals that are changing their school for next year, and they'll be leading a new campus for us. And I just wanted to take a moment to introduce the ones that are here so that you could see them and know about their change. So first of all, Mrs. Belaskovitz, who is currently our principal at Lincoln, will be moving to Coron next year. Ms. Belaskovitz is here. Thank you. Second, Mr. Jarrett, Nathan Jarrett, our principal at Bell Graham, is going to be moving from Bell Graham to Anderson. He's here. And then Mrs. Stuckey is our current Fox Ridge principal, and she's going to be moving to Bell Graham. So that leaves for us a vacancy at Lincoln, and the staff and parents at Lincoln will be working with Mrs. Geyer to put together an interview team to begin the process to identify a new leader for that building. So thank you very much, Mrs. Huell.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pearson. We have committee reports as the next item on the agenda, and I would like to start with learning and teaching because that is our business. Mr. McNally.
I'm glad we're all sitting down because this is not short. To start with, we had some recognitions. Mrs. Gina DiPalermo, reading specialist at Lincoln, has been nominated for the Kane County Educator of the Year. On May 4th, they're going to announce the winner at a special event. 7th and 8th grade Infinity students have submitted entries to the National Geographic Society Geo Challenge. Students are challenged to develop a creative solution to real-world problems. All 10 teams will move on to regionals April 6th, which has, of course, passed. And I'm not sure if we have an update on what occurred there. And then Thompson Middle School and Redling Middle Schools have both been selected as Distinguished Project Lead the Way Schools. Only 340 schools nationwide earned the honor. And only 110 middle schools were selected of those. So on to the items that we discussed. The biggest item, the longest discussed item was the Innovation Specialist. And there was a discussion of the possibility of revising LRC organization by dissolving current LRC director positions and creating the position of innovation specialist. Considerable conversation as a result of a social media discussion occurred over the week that had occurred over the weekend caused us to have a probably a little bit longer a discussion than because there was some misinformation, I think, that needed to be clarified as well. After the discussion, it was determined that we would take more time and look at the idea a little more closely, with the possibility of revisions being brought forward after feedback from stakeholders. So we are going to be taking a look at that and I think reviewing that again for next year and see what revisions we might be making. Next up was Aspire to Excellence, and that was district-wide school improvements, and specifically we discussed Anderson School improvements. The use of benchmark data in math and reading is being used to determine areas of need. The improvement process, specifically for Anderson, review current support at Anderson. We have math specialists, interventionists, math and after-school tutoring, native language tutors, resources including Eureka Math, 10 Marks, and Happy Numbers, excuse me, reading specialists, English language teacher, bilingual specialist, resources supporting the curriculum, Makerspace Innovation Lab, after-school enrichment activities, and extended school day for identified students. The next item up was social studies curriculum, and that was using the Illinois Social Science Standards of Inquiry Skills and Disciplinary Concepts. We developed a conceptual framework, which we discussed previously, and we're following the path of middle school social studies would have U.S. history, world history, high school social studies, contemporary world issues, contemporary human geography. World history and geography is the recommended resource, is world history by Pearson. AP World History, recommended resource, Voyages in World History. These were all put on display or made available, I should say, because some of them are electronic, so they're not typically displayed like they would be at the library. Modern American History, we have recommended resources of U.S. history, Reconstruction through the present, Civics in America, and American Agenda. Recommended resource, Magruder's American Government and Economics and American Agenda, and that's Economics and Financial Literacy by Cengage. And there was also a supplemental resource suggested, Get a Financial Life, Personal Finance in Your 20s and 30s by Scheinman and Schuster. That is on for action. There's a budget impact on that of $686,782 and $21,000 in recurring costs. Next up, I told you this was just a couple more pages. I think we set a record, so bear with me. Next up is grade 4-5 team specialization. The rationale supports students with increased opportunities in grade level content and in differentiation and common experience and structure across buildings. The elementary team would consist of 2-person teams in language arts, social studies, math, and science. They would be scheduled in block format. Staff training is going to be provided, or will be should we do this. And teacher collaboration time is to be scheduled. And the timeline for this is spring 2018, formed an advisory committee, planned professional development and support, professional learning and support, I'm sorry.
Which class is that then?
This is for the grade 4-5 team specialization. Yeah. And then for the 2018-19 school year, the intention is to implement and support using the framework for interested schools, review assessment data, and then the committee will determine the next steps for that. So we've got a few things that we're going to be looking at over the next year. Just a couple more pages here. Middle school math curriculum and resource recommendation. Compacted 6th and 7th grade math and advanced compacted 7th and 8th grade math were discussed. Middle school math pathways were reviewed, and the recommended resources for 6th through 8th math is Illustrative Mathematics 6th through 8 by Open Up and 10 Marks, and the selection process, instead of selecting CDT group, math drop-in sessions were conducted at all middle schools in April, May, and December to gather input, and teachers were given access to online resources, and afternoon SIP vendors provided information to all teachers, and this is what they had settled on. Again, we'll be discussing, there will be voting on that. It's an item for action. The projected costs are $172,108 for resources and professional learning, and $84,200 recurring annual cost anticipated for student texts. Okay, I'm going to take a breath here for a second. Okay, next up was the MX Inc. EDU, the incubator essentially for the middle school. And the program goals were provide meaningful student experience, introduce students to the entrepreneurial process, and creativity of product development. Program elements include students choosing problem to solve or a product to create. Students will work in teams to solve and develop. Students will work with community professional volunteers similar to the program we have in place in the high school. The Entrepreneur Project project, idea creation and problem identification, business model creation, pitch the business idea. It's not going to quite be the Shark Tank model that they use for the high school. Preparing for the marketplace, launch the marketplace, and they introduced it's kind of a neat thing, a sample product, a Magna hand, which, you know, kind of magnets on a glove for holding things as you're working, holding metal items as you're working, nails and things. It's kind of neat. I want one. The program cost was cut off on my, and my program cost is cut off on my notes. Do you have that anywhere close at hand? I'll come back to that if you would. What's that? all right, and then the last is aspire to excellence. Oh, we already talked about that. So, all right, my notes were out of order, so I guess I'm done. Mm-hmm. I had one fewer page than I thought. And we do have a meeting Monday. On Monday, we actually have two meetings this month. We did have a very heavy meeting because of the discussions that we had surrounding the Fox Ridge and the early childhood, so we kind of were preempted for a couple meetings. So that's why we're so heavy, and we're playing a little catch-up now. So next Monday, April 16th, we will have on the agenda for that Special Olympics, honors weights for English 101-102, Accelerate College and Project Lead the Way. The Richmond and Davis presentation, so people can know what's being done at Richmond and Davis. That's a little different than the rest of the district. Classroom library purchases and health occupations. So that looks like it's going to be fairly full. And then on April 23rd, we have tentative items here. Photo 1 and 2, SciTech curriculum mapping and resources, SEL programming, potential ESSA update. We don't know whether or not we're going to have that. Student handbooks, and then Advantage Math Diagnostic Recovery. Did I say that right?
You did.
All right. I got that right.
5 o'clock for both meetings.
Yes, 5 o'clock. Thank you. 5 o'clock for both because they are both going to be full, and I think at that point we might be caught up. Maybe.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if you thought those were long meetings, apparently.
I think they will be.
Thank you very much. That is a lot. But it's that time of year. New classes, new resources. News. Thank you. The next item is the Business Services Committee that met.
Thank you. We met on Thursday, March 22nd. And as usual, we led off with the financial reports for Mid-Valley as well as D303, and both of those in packets for information. Our next item, Dr. Chapman gave us an update on the fiscal year budget and some changes that came to us for general state aid, and then presented us with some opportunities for us to how to use that. Those resources. Some of those items will be on for discussion tonight, which is the bus purchases and how we're trying to catch up with our where we got behind in purchasing buses in the past, as well as some potential technology infrastructure and network, which will be brought to us in the future. And another item that will be on action in the future, but we gave the go-ahead to start working on the drawings and bid documents, which is for security upgrades to all of our schools, you know, some enhancing the vestibules and entrances and such. So that'll be coming to action at a later date, but right now we gave them the go-ahead to start procuring those documents. As well as looking at our unfunded IMRF liability, which will be talked about at a future Business Service Committee meeting. So part of that then is something we'll take action on tonight, which is the placement of the revised fiscal year 17-18 community unit amended budget. And so that'll be on for action. That's action item C tonight. And then so we talked about the building security upgrades. Dr. Chapman kind of talked about what some of those items would be. And again, we'll take action on those at a later date. I kind of touched on again. I guess I was kind of combining them all because they were all kind of part of one thing, which was the buses. And then Mr. Shizar brought to us the annual renewal for My Access Assessment Service, which will be on for consent tonight. And Dr. Kyle brought us the Capturing Kids' Heart contract, which is on for consent tonight. Our next two items are kind of go hand in hand together, which is the be on for action tonight, which is the award of contract for the East High School turf field. The first part is kind of the earthwork portion of it, and then the second part is the actual turf field itself. So both those bidders were the same bidders that won for North, so we'll have the same product as well. So there'll be some continuity there as well. And we had a good experience working with them at North as well. So our next item, one of our annual kind of renewals is the intergovernmental agreement for utilization of facilities between St. Charles and the Village of South Elgin. And that's on for consent. Our next item is the AED device replacement. They have an expiration date, and this is replacing many of those that are getting ready to expire. And that is on for consent tonight. Our next item is we reviewed the quotes for the final asbestos abatement for Thompson that'll take place once kids are out of school, and that'll be on for consent. Then our next two items were updates. The first item was the Norris update, and I think we're all excited now that we're officially 100% open at Norris. Everything, from what I've heard, is all good news, and everyone's excited. So. And then our next construction update, Mr. Lamp gave us an update on the progression at Thompson, and everything's moving along, and if it stops snowing, it would help us, but the weather should be getting better, which will help kind of accelerate things, and Mason and the concrete guys will be excited because they can get more work done outside, and so that'll be good. So we'll be seeing a lot of progress taking shape over the next couple of months, getting the first phase ready for August. So that'll be exciting to see. And then our last item, which will be on for consent tonight, which is part of our construction process here at Thompson, which is the FF&E purchase for the first phase. And so that went out to bid. Dr. Chapman worked with the committee in deciding, you know, what's going to be the appropriate furniture and everything, and they took that up for bid, and we got those bids back and everything, and they'll be in for consent tonight. Our next meeting is April 26th, and like Mr. McNally, we have a plethora of things to discuss, and continue to get the updates on construction, and that's it.
Thank you very much. Sounds like things are going really well. There were so many areas covered, and I just wanted to emphasize that the safety improvements that have been looked at, we're looking at doing them over the summer,
correct,
having it ready for the start,
correct,
of the school year if everything,
correct,
works out. And I just think, yep, it's, and that did get some notice in newspapers and things, so I think we're doing the right thing.
Yeah. And then I don't know if you want me to talk about the safety task force.
Please.
So we had our, I kind of call it our kickoff meeting, if you will, last Friday. So it was very well attended. We have parents, staff members, we had members from St. Charles Fire Department, Police Department, ROE, and it was just I thought it was a very good start. You know, we had a lot of open dialogue, a lot of good questions were asked, and we're going to meet quarterly. So I'll be on there as the board liaison, and so I'll try to report back as we discuss things, and then we'll use the parents will help do that too. They'll talk about certain things that as we progress and what we can and can't talk about, obviously. But I think it was a good first step. We got introductions. Everyone got kind of put faces to names and everything, and I'm looking forward to being part of it.
Thank you very much.
Can I just hop in real quickly? Mm-hmm. I actually in the notes
that
I the other notes that, well, I was given some additional notes, and the program cost for that MX Inc. EDU is $3,500 per school year, which includes teacher training. So that was all. Thank you.
Thank you. Committee reports, there is still is community relations. Ms. Weibel.
Thank you, Mrs. Huell. Okay, we met on Wednesday, April 4th. It was also a long meeting. We have had a lot to talk about this year, so it's been good. We had a recognition, and we don't have official minutes because we literally just met, so I'm just piecing it together here, so bear with me. So the St. Charles North High School mock trial team, we honored because they won their 18, right? State championship, sorry, and 17. That's why I was looking confused. So they won back-to-back, and it was their third. They also won in 14, so they're, and they had quite a few repeating people on the team. So we're very honored and proud of them for their accomplishments, and they're heading off to Vegas for the Nationals. Reno, Nevada. That was close. Thank you for the correction. I think Pat Crimmin said over Mother's Day weekend or something like that. So we're very proud of them, so that was exciting. We did not have our student liaison report. We did have the St. Charles Public Library come, as our community partner, and present. I think, Nick, you were the only one not present, so I'll be speaking directly to you. So so the St. Charles Public Library presented about their partnership and different programs that they do with us. They talk about their Bernese Books Drive that they do with the St. Charles schools, the multi-level librarians that they have that they have liaisons with our LRCs. They did a comprehensive survey that they helped plan their own strategic plan, and so they shared some of that will be renovation or expansion potentially in the next 5 years, so that was exciting. They talked about their different programs for teens, for elementary, and all that information can be found on the presentation. So there was an Imagination Student Art Show that they do every year. I was going to say, Mrs. Fairgrey, if you want to jump in here anytime with anything I'm missing, feel free. So the one question we had for the library and Mrs. Craig, who presented, was that we did ask her to come back with us about the percentage of students who are not within our St. Charles library boundaries. And so there was some discussion about partnering with that percentage of students and kind of what we could do in the future with that. So. That was her presentation. We went over the district survey results. Those also are on the presentation, and for those not on the board, for the public, it's on the website. So it's under the Community Relations board book. So the district survey is on there, and basically it said that the satisfaction survey was fairly similar in general. And I was going to say, Dr. Pearson, if you want to jump in here as I'm going, the teacher survey was about the same. I think the lowest, do we want to talk about that? The lowest was the board, so that's just opportunity for us to continue to be better. There was a great response, and even response in every area. There was a slight dip in middle school. We think perhaps that was due to the changes in locations and construction and that sort of thing. The one thing we maybe talked about was there was some concern about a need for more guidance. And so we saw the same thing in surveys from the students for high school. So we did have a little discussion about what we could do to help with student services. And to Mrs. Bell's eloquent point and her impassionate speech, I just want to reiterate that it's always a priority for our district to make sure that we're here for our students and student services and to take care of our students and faculty anytime we lose one of our family in D303, and so that's always what we're focused on. So I know that we'll continue to do that, and our survey kind of reflects that as well. Also, we talked about that we'll have a new state survey, so that we don't know what it looks like. So we will figure that out this summer when the state gets back to us. In their timely way that they do such a good job of doing. So, and I think that was, we discussed potentially figuring out ways to survey community members outside of parent groups. The next point on the agenda was the social media, and we actually kind of deferred some of the social media discussion to our summer summit for the board this summer. So we will discuss kind of what the board wants to do with our, if we want to have a social media presence outside of the district or not. I think we could see which way that might be going, but we'll talk about that this summer. And then we discussed the website redesign. So we are going to be launching a new website in July, and Matt presented, thank you. And it was very exciting to see kind of some of the early mock-ups on how all the different schools will be more uniform and some of their website design and different characteristics on the website and what they'll each have to offer. And what was interesting about that was just it looks very user-friendly. So I don't know if anyone has anything to say about that, but it was pretty exciting to see how that's going to mock up. The other thing that was interesting, and I didn't mean to skip Mrs. Smith's communication survey, sorry, on the survey. but what was interesting about, we did some questions about communication, and that most people are requesting their communication through the district, either via email or via e-list? E-news, sorry, thanks. And that many of them hit the website on a weekly basis, so it makes a lot of sense for us to revamp the website. And so I think we're headed in the right direction. So it was very good feedback, just highlighting a couple of your questions, and I think it was good feedback for us to kind of have a good idea of where we're going, and we're heading in the right direction there. So the last thing we touched on was kind of some informal board communications. And how do we want to be available to our community and constituents more? And there was a suggestion perhaps of a quarterly town hall Saturday coffee. So we're going to look into legal parameters with that. And so we're going to talk about that next meeting. And the next meeting is Wednesday, May 9th. At 6 p.m. at the administration building, and we all invite you to come, and we'll be discussing that, and I believe having a downtown partnership presentation, and we're still adding the rest of the agenda together, so we have a little bit of time. So I think that's it. Thank you.
So you're also doubling up. Yeah. April and May. Okay. Got that.
Just to clarify, yeah. We postponed our March meeting, which is why we're back to
back. I know.
I just wanted to explain.
And I did want to ask if you have anything from the Housing Commission.
I don't think since the last meeting we've met, we had a Housing Commission meeting that was canceled. So I think we're up to date. If not, I will update on the next one.
That's good. It'll probably wait, right? Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, yes.
Policy is meeting, as far as I know, Dr. Moore.
Yes.
Monday the
30th. And, okay, because I have two dates down.
We will have that agenda out soon.
Okay, good. Thank you. That's every Monday this month, isn't it?
Yes. Just about.
Kind of like the city council.
5 o'clock, Mr. Moore. What time would you like?
5 o'clock, please. Thank you.
5 p.m. Okay. Good. I had attended most things, but I did want to just mention that I went to the DPTO meeting this month, as I always do, and they probably spent an hour and three quarters of their meeting talking about what they were doing and plans for next year and all the interesting activities, all the help that they give. The DPTO is a wonderful organization. I hope that they continue to spread that, the news that they receive at that meeting, out to everyone. But I just can't help but reiterate every time what a great group of people that is. I think that is it, as far as I can see, for committee meetings. Anybody else, anything? Thanks for the reminder on policy. It's been a long time. All right, that concludes committee reports, so we will move on to action items. Today we have some unique things in that we have some resolutions to be read. So, before I start, Mrs. Linkmer, do you have an actual paper copy of the resolution?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
I have the motion, and I also have the resolution, so you have to tell me what part of this you want done. I'm assuming you need the motion done first.
I think it's just the motion. Okay. I move. Yes.
I have it.
Okay. We'll get started with that. So I will now ask for a resolution to release non-tenured licensed employees other than the final year probationary licensed employees to be dismissed at the close of the school year.
Common practice every year, Mrs. Huell. Common practice every year to do
yes,
this.
Yes, common practice every year.
I move that this Board of Education adopt the resolution before you authorizing and directing the President and Secretary to give to the non-tenure licensed employees other than final year probationary licensed employees listed on Exhibit 1 attached hereto written notice of this Board's decision to not reemploy said licensed employees for the 2018-2019 school year. And in view of the fact that the resolution form in front of you is the same for these non-tenured licensed employees other than final year probationary licensed employees, I recommend we adopt this like resolution.
Thank you. So moved. May I have a second? Or is there a second to this motion?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Weibel. Is there a request that this resolution be read in its entirety? No? Is there a request that any individual resolutions be read in their entirety? Is there any discussion? None heard? I'd like to request a roll call vote on this motion.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries. Next is, may I have a motion on the resolution to honorably dismiss selected non-licensed employees at the close of the school year?
I move that this school board adopt the resolution before you authorizing and directing the president and secretary to give to the selected non-licensed employees listed on Exhibit 1 attached hereto written notice of this board's decision to honorably dismiss said personnel effective as of the end of the 2017-2018 school term. And in view of the fact that resolution form in front of you is the same for these selected non-licensed employees, I recommend we adopt this like resolution.
Thank you. Is there a second to the motion? Mr. Manheim, thank you. Is there a request that this resolution be read in its entirety? Is there a request that any individual resolutions be read in their entirety? Is there any discussion? None heard? Would you please take the roll?
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries. The next, may I have a motion for the placement of the fiscal year 2017-2018 Community Unit School District 303 amended budget to be put on public display and schedule a public hearing?
So
moved. Mr. McNally? And Mr. Manheim, is there any conversation or discussion? I'm sorry. None heard? Please take the roll.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries. Next item is the purchase of bus. May I have a motion for the purchase of buses for the Transportation Department? Mr. Manheim? I have a second. And Mr. McNally is a second. Is there any presentation or anything? I know we saw it at Business Services.
So we don't purchase buses every year, and we purchase different numbers of buses depending on what our needs are. So I did ask Dr. Chapman just to mention briefly kind of why what this purchase is and why we're purchasing these buses at this time. I think it's important to have that information.
So, as Mr. Manheim stated earlier, the district did fall behind in our bus purchases several years ago. We actually went several years without making any bus purchases during some times when finances were not so good. This year, we've been allotted an opportunity because of the fact that our budgeted state revenue is lower than our allocations that have come out this year. So it's a good thing that our state revenue is coming in better than anticipated and provide us the mechanism to make this purchase. Our process has changed over the last few years. We used to buy new buses. Now we're purchasing buses that are 1 to 2 years old. And Mr. Baird and his team did a nice job of splitting those larger buses and kind of two groups into some 1 year and some 2 years so that we don't get to a roughly in maintenance on each of those buses. So while the upfront costs are certainly significant, the maintenance costs are also significant on the older buses. When you take in that in factor with the fact that we get a reimbursement from the state for transportation claim, any bus that hits the first 5 years is given an allocation. So 20% of the cost of the bus is given back to us in a reimbursement, which is then prorated from there. But I'll just throw out a scenario for you. About an $8,000 bus, we receive about $16,000 in reimbursement per year on that bus, and then prorated down. So on a special education bus, we tend to get about $12,000 or $13,000 back per year. And on a general education bus, that falls down to probably $4,000 or $5,000 per year. So either case, when we buy these buses, as opposed to sitting on a 10, 11-year-old bus, we get more state reimbursement back. So the net cost tends to fall into, you know, roughly about 40% of purchase price for a special ed bus and roughly about a 65% purchase price for a general education bus over that same 5 year period. So that's our rationale for moving forward. This is not something we're going to continue to buy at this level. This is really an opportunity to catch up for this year, and that'll help in the future years lower that cost.
Does anyone have any question or discussion on this? I think for myself, I had just been thinking that even though it's kind of an irony, or not exactly an oxymoron, but even though we're losing students, so we've got fewer and fewer students, we still have a 57 square mile district, and so you can't have kids on the on the bus for an hour. We still need a certain number of buses, and I was wondering if, with the lower number of students, if there is any lowering in the number of buses that we normally would have in stock.
At this time, you know, they don't come in perfect packages, so we do not need the same amount of buses. The difference is that we continue to try to take our special ed back in. If you remember, we've sort of taken the special ed buses in over the course of the last 9 years. So we pulled more and more kids in. As we have opportunities, we pull more and more students back to our transportation mm-hmm. board.
We are spread out. Thank you very much. Sir? Yes?
Just one quick question. It's just more of a curiosity thing, but you had mentioned that an 11 or 12-year-old bus is about roughly $8,000 worth of maintenance per year. What is the maintenance cost in a bus, you know, in that 1 to 10-year range on average?
Do you foresee buying buses next year, or is it still going to be a...
Well, we'll have an allocation in there for next year to replace, like, some of the other special ed buses mm-hmm. or as the needs come up. We always do our audit in about December, looking at what buses need to move on. So we will still have a bus purchase coming up next year.
But probably less,
yes,
I would assume?
Significant.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Anyone? All right. Mrs. Swartz, will you two please take the roll call?
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrieve?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries. The next item is the review of bids for the award of contract A for St. Charles East High School Synthetic Turf Field Development Project. May I have a motion?
So
moved. Ms. Weibel, thank you. And Mr. Manheim? So we've been hearing about this, and at Business Services it was gone over pretty well in depth, but are there any questions, or were you, was there any presentation, anything?
No.
Okay.
I think it's just important to note that we were able, through the bid process, to get the same field that we have at North High School with the same company, so it's equal at both schools.
Good. Thank you. Anyone else? It's a big move to lose that beautiful natural green grass field, but
you're looking at me and you know that how I feel about that. I reluctantly I was kind of dragged along in support of this due to fiscal concerns, but I still am in favor of natural fields, always will be, but I know that for fiscal concerns, we're probably better off doing this for usage and the increased usage for schools, and that's really what sold me on it, is the use of the athletic fields during the school year or during the school day for physical education, special ed programs, things like that. The band will have a place to actually walk, and you know, where they'd be walking during an actual performance. So all those things together kind of dragged me in support of this. But
thank you, because I think you do voice, you know, a certain segment, and I have it too, of what we're doing. I was just thinking that next year, maybe on April 9th, they'll be able to be on the field at St. Charles East. Rain or shine, right? Snow or shine. Okay, so we're going to be voting on that. Would you please take the roll call vote, please?
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries. Second part of that is, may I have a motion to review the bids for the awarding of contract B for St. Charles East High School's synthetic turf field development project?
So moved.
Ms. Weibel?
Second.
Mr. Mannheim? I think we'll just go right to the vote.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, motion carries. So next item is the 6th through 12th grade social studies curriculum and resource recommendation. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Ms. Linkemer, and a second?
Second.
Mr. McNally, thank you. So this is huge. This is 6 years worth, what, 7 years worth of curriculum for something that everybody takes almost every year. I think I haven't received any negative comments other than one person with questions, and I appreciated that the district got back to them because it was a good question. Other than that, I think, does anyone have anything else to talk about as far as this curriculum?
I'm going to tag along with that, with the question. I just, it was one of those things that I know we had this discussion in the fall, and when you look at the resources, and it was kind of brought up by the question, you kind of hit the realization that we aren't actually teaching U.S. history at the high school level in the same way we used to in as far as early U.S. history. And that was something that, you know, fundamentally I prefer to see that, I think, more robust discussions occur on some of those founding, you know, issues with high school age kids. So I just wanted to voice my opinion that that's something that I do prefer to see at the high school level. But I've been assured that we will be, due to the modern, you know, the modern history course, we will be referring back to those things and covering those items. And I'm hopeful that's going to get those robust discussions that I think take place more so in high school than they do in middle school. So
staff is so thorough, and when they come to LNT with their curriculum and people are sitting in front of us and there's nothing that we ask that they haven't thought of, they haven't looked at, they haven't figured out. So I always feel good by the time it gets to this point that we're going to be doing an adoption, there's been plenty, more than plenty of conversation and planning and questioning and looking for different responses. And I'm never left wondering if it's the right thing, because they feel it is obvious on the people. So the group that came to present, I'm very thankful that they came, spent a great deal of time with us. It's one of the reasons for the four-hour meeting. But that's an okay reason. Nothing more important than the curriculum that we're teaching. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I agree. Would you please take the roll, please?
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mrs. Hill?
Yes, the motion carries. The next item is H. Could I have a motion on the middle school math curriculum and resource recommendations? Ms. Lickemer? And a second?
Second.
Ms. Fairgrieve? Mrs. Fairgrieve. Any discussion on that one? This is, these are the resources for the other pathway, I think, the additional, or maybe not. I won't talk for you. Okay.
Yes, they are. I do want to just point out one change that's in here. The 10 Mark vendor, who was our supplemental resource, notified us last week that they're no longer going to be providing their resource. It's actually a company that's owned by Amazon, and it's not going to be available. So that's been taken out of this of your proposal. They'll look for another supplemental resource and bring that back. But the core resource is the same. This was just a supplemental resource that they were going to use.
Like, so for supplemental, is it supplemental, like, from home? Is it something that they really needed and now we don't have it?
10 Marks is an online resource that is personalized, so it allows students to work on individual areas that they need to work on. And there are other resources out there that have similar structures that we can look at. This just happens to be the one that a lot of people are using across the country, so this is fascinating. I think that they've realized it's not profitable. And this happens in education technology on a regular basis. Either it gets bought out by another company or gets pushed around, and we end up without a resource in that area. So in this case, that's what's happened with 10 Marks.
So did you say that they were bought out by Amazon?
No, they're owned by Amazon.
They're owned by Amazon, but they've just notified us that they're no longer going to be supporting the product.
And the good news is we have time to get something else in place, and we didn't go ahead with this 2 weeks ago and now be scrambling because we had already signed all the paperwork.
Correct.
And done all the work.
Yeah.
On the back end.
I have a question. So, Dr. Pearson, the 10 Marks was the online support, correct?
It's a supplemental resource. It's individualized and personalized. I think if you're familiar with Khan Academy or some of those other tools, it's likened some of those resources where a student goes in and they kind of are assessed and they're given practice activities that allow them to work on skill development or particularly targeted areas that teachers want them to focus on. Again, there are multiple other online platforms that we can look at, so we'll just have to find a replacement for it.
And that'll be a separate vote then, I assume.
Yes, we'll bring it back.
Okay.
So what is this vote on then?
Just the core resource.
Just the core resource.
Mr. McNally?
And so what is the time? What's the timeline for supplemental? It'll be next month, you think?
We're working to bring that back in May.
Okay.
But our team needs some time to investigate options. We are able to continue with 10 Marks for the users we currently have into next school year, but any new users are out.
But we'll guarantee them a supplemental.
Oh, yes.
Is what I guess what my question is. Okay.
Yes.
Because just from my understanding of the material, it was very helpful. So the core material is not always sufficient itself, that it needs supplemental for.
We always like to have resources like 10 Marks that allow us to personalize the learning for students. So yes, it's something we'd like to have.
Everyone have your information? All right, would you please take the roll, please?
Mrs. Lankemer? Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrieve?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hill?
Yes, the motion carries. And that finishes the curriculum part. I guess it's kind of curriculum. It's not curriculum. May I have a motion on the East and North High School foreign travel for summer of 2019? You have that motion? Mrs. Linkemer?
Second.
Mr. McNally? Are those just all the people that would like to go? is this something that someone is here to explain?
Well, Mrs. Barnes is here if we have any questions for her, but this is a French trip. I know Mrs. Barnes has taken groups over before in the summer to France, and it's a wonderful tour. It's like you said, Mrs. Hill, we'd all like to be able to go. And so we appreciate Mrs. Barnes taking the leadership to arrange this for our students to have this summer opportunity, and this would be for next summer.
for them to go from July the 9th through the 17th.
There's another button here. Hold on. Okay. I was just wondering how many, first of all, I think it's wonderful to combine the two schools and get enough students that way. So I was wondering how many, what is your minimum for the number of students?
We can take, actually the minimum is right around 10. This company does work with us. The last time we went, we were able to take 9 students and 2 instructors.
That's what I was wondering, what your numbers would be. It sounds like a very wonderful trip. Haven't been north of France, but I'd love to give it a shot.
We're really lucky that we'll be going on the 75th anniversary of the landing on Normandy beaches.
Really?
Yes, and we'll also be there over Bastille Day, which is their national holiday.
Wow, that's good planning.
Yeah.
I would use that in the brochure that you there's a lot of very experienced chaperones. Well, thank you, and thank you for coming to tell us about it. Is there any other questions or comments or anything other than, a few wistful?
Where are we going this summer?
Where are they going?
I don't think we have any trips this summer. I'd have to double check for you. It's been a while.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. We approved these so far in advance. I don't have the current list.
I thought I remembered that there was one this summer, but
Iceland.
Just to reiterate,
you're not going to Iceland.
Said,
you're going to France.
Mrs. Huell, the fact that the East and North schools are going together is a beautiful thing. I'm very pleased that there's been such cooperation between the two high schools and the two student bodies. That's a wonderful thing. So thank you.
Thank you. In that case, that said, would you please take the roll?
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries. We have
another trip.
East and North High School have foreign travel planned for spring 2019. I think this is the orchestra and the orchestra, and they're going to Central Europe. I need a motion, actually, before I digress. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Weibel. And a second? Thank you, Mrs. Fairgreave. Okay, now, you're going to take a large orchestra to Central-ish Europe.
Yeah. So this is Mr. Beter and Mrs. Halverson, and so our North Orchestra Director and our East Orchestra Director, and to Mrs. Linkemer's point, this is another example of both of our high schools working together. So, and this trip is over spring break next year.
I think the only thing I saw that board members maybe heard me mention in the past is that the trip is from Thursday to the weekend, and the only reason I don't like that part of it, so I'm hoping that kids are in school at least the first part of Thursday, is that it's just so hard for teachers to, here you are right before spring break, there are tests and projects and things, and a whole chunk of students leave. I'm just concerned about that piece of it. I'm really happy that you're going, and it's for more than a week. And, I'm wondering or hoping maybe the flights in the evening, as European flights so often are, that they wouldn't miss 2 full days of school, would be my concern. But
we can certainly speak with the tour company about trying to plan it that way. I know when we first put these dates together, being newer teachers in the district, the last 2 years, the students have had that Friday off as like a sick day. So in my mind, in my mind, I thought that was a regular thing. I didn't realize that. So I thought that then they would only miss one day, that they would just miss Thursday, and then the students wouldn't, because that's happened in past spring breaks. So we can certainly try to address.
Well, that's just me speaking, and I'm glad to hear that you had it as a consideration, because it's really not just, I don't want the kids to get out early or anything. It's just that what it might be doing for 2 days of class schedules, but do what you have to do.
At this point, also, the airlines when we were proposing it, the airlines weren't taking reservations for that far in advance, so we couldn't know the details down to exactly what time of day, but like she said, we can ask for that to be a priority.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything? It sounds wonderful. Nothing else, no other conversations, so would you take the roll, please? Thank you for coming, by the way.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Lankomer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes, the motion carries. So, and that one's coming up, less than a year now. All right. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. There are items A through M. Does anyone wish for any item to be pulled? Actually, I'm going to ask that we pull F on the Mix Inc. EDU. May I have a motion on the consent agenda with the items except for that one?
So moved.
Ms. Weibel? Mr. McNally? So this is the consent agenda, minus that one. Anyone else have anything? None heard? Would you take the vote, please?
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Lankomer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes, motion carries. I ask that F be pulled because we did receive questions or comments from a teacher, and it did kind of make me, oh, actually, we need a motion, don't we?
Yes.
We have a motion to consider item F, Mix Inc. EDU Incubator and Project Lead the Way, Computer Science for Innovators and Makers.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. McNally. Can I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Weibel. So you're all wondering why I pulled it. I guess I just am kind of giving voice to the teacher that wrote to us. And it did make me think that my concern is that maybe we have so many of these incubator things and that maybe at a young age, we'll be losing more standard curricula.
Foundational.
And that we're foundational, thank you. And that we are, Project Lead the Way, of course, is its unique, innovative, creative, solution-based class. And this seemed similar, and I just thought at this young age, do kids need to know some just basic things? And I know you've probably heard this from me before. At some point, you just have to know some things. And it's not just how you can manipulate your environment. So I just wanted to say that, and I would just ask that, we'll just take the roll. If anybody else.
I'll actually reiterate the point, because that was something that was kind of in the back of my head, and when I saw one of the teachers had said that as well, I kind of gave it a bit more weight. It was one of those things with kind of a nagging thought in the back of my head, and I thought, well, it seems like a good thing, and when I saw that others were thinking the same way, I kind of started thinking about that myself, that I don't want to lose the foundational. That was the term that popped into my head. I don't want to lose the foundational thing. It's we can learn to, I kind of liken it to the idea of critical thinking. And a number of years ago, I was told by in another district that it didn't really matter what the content was, that we just needed to teach critical thinking. And I thought, well, that's an absurdity to me, because people leave, for example, my biology or my physiology class, they're supposed to have certain capabilities in those subject areas. They're supposed to know things, as you said. And I don't want to sacrifice that. So that was a concern that I did have about this. And as I say, it's a nagging concern that kind of came more to the forefront when I read that email as well. So,
thank you. I think also that was such a big meeting that at some point just didn't really want to speak up and slow it down.
Well,
but it has been.
Yeah, and it there was, because and that's one of the reasons that I kind of want to catch up on those meetings and not have big meetings, because I don't want things to get lost in the shuffle. And I think to some extent that discussion probably did get a bit lost in the shuffle, just because we were meeting for 3+ hours, and it was I think it was probably something that maybe should bear more discussion. So just a thought, just my own opinion on that.
If I could just jump in here. You know, it's interesting. So I have been friends a very long time with someone that teaches at one of the middle schools. And so they get to see a lot of these kids in the PLTW class who have these more innovative types of brains and activities. And what they see is that they're, for what this class is offering to 7th and 8th graders, I think is an awesome opportunity, because for the small group that it could be targeting, there are such a group of innovators that I think are above and beyond of what some of even our curriculum offers today, even in the wheel. As great and expansive as our wheel is, this is a step above that for them to kind of get an idea of how to do, just to speak to kind of that side of it. I just think it's a nice opportunity for some kids to challenge themselves. And I think that's one of the things we heard in the survey, is that for gifted students, they need an opportunity to challenge themselves in some areas. So I think it offers that. I think because it's for a select group of kids, it's not, you know, going to serve all, I don't even know, middle schools, what, 2,600 kids we have, right? It's not going to serve all 2,600 kids. It'll serve that select group. I think it could be a benefit. So that's just my two cents.
That's good. And you know what it is? It's not even necessarily the class. The class is something I know they're going to have extensive opportunities in high school, but that they don't. This is taking away another class. So you know, that was part of my. Do you want to?
Yeah. Career. So let me speak to that, because it doesn't take away another class. It's still the same standards. It's a different approach to, it models more what's happening in business today with how we approach the standards and careers in business. Interestingly enough, you spoke that we had heard from a staff member about this particular curriculum. When we implemented the curriculum that's currently being taught, the same staff member had concerns and reservations about implementing that curriculum. This person is a strong advocate for it. So I think sometimes it's just helping people step through that change and making sure they have resources. This is a far superior resource to the one we currently have for our middle school students, and I would be really disappointed if we weren't able to provide this opportunity to our kids.
Anyone else? No? All right. Would you take the... Wait, I did get a motion. Yes, okay. Would you take the vote, please?
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney? Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
I'm going to say no. Okay. Motion carries. The next items on the agenda are for information, the Freedom of Information requests. There are several. And then the financial reports for District 303 and the Mid-Valley and Mid-Valley for February 2018. Did anybody have any questions or comments about that? No? Next item is new business.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I would like to formally request that we, as a board, ask the Illinois State Board of Education to send someone here to work with us long before a summer retreat. I feel we need someone here to do some team building activities, to work on goals, to work on opportunities within our board, and I don't want to wait until the end of summer. I saw the dates come out sometime after July. I think you wrote 14th. I think that is way too late in the game here, and I'd like to have somebody up here sooner on an emergency basis.
We'll take that under advisement and talk to board members. Does anybody have anything else for new business? It's not new business, but this is a very exciting time of the year in the school district and is the fruition of so many efforts from our students. But I wanted to just remind board members that there are concerts and art exhibits throughout. And the last weekend of the month, both high schools have their musical, which is really a community event if you haven't been to one in a while. East is doing Les Mis, which I don't think they've ever done. And that's got to be very challenging to do. And I shouldn't say challenging. That's a real... Yeah. And it's different every time you see it, too. So anyway, it's Les Mis, and Shrek the Musical is at North. So that's even family in particular. So just letting you know that and saying it out for everybody to hear. All right. Anything else? Nothing else? I would like to have a motion to adjourn to closed session by roll call vote for the purposes of 1, student discipline, 2, the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity. Litigation? No. So those two motions. May I have a motion? Mrs. Linkmer, and a second? Second is Mr. McNally. Thank you very much. Roll call. Is there?
Mr. Gaffney?
No.
Mrs. Linkmer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries.